Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
It's been a wild 3 weeks in the NFL.
It has been.
What
great
a win
though.
By the Packers. It's been awesome. It's been awesome entertainment, which is exactly what we expect. And Aaron Rodgers looked good again last night for the most part, especially with 37 seconds to go. He's going nuts on the sideline when Mason Crosby hits that kick. So does he care? I guess he cares. I think he loves his teammates and his coach and winning and playing football more than he hates
the
front office. That appears to be the equation.
Yeah.
And to chat about it, among other things, we're joined now by a longtime NFLer, and you see him on FS1. Here is Marcellus Wiley. Is that an appropriate way of qualifying what's up with Rodgers, that he loves his teammates and the sport enough to overcome his hatred of the front office?
Of course it is. How could you ever doubt Aaron Rodgers' commitment to the game? Look, he could have done a lot better job in the PR department this offseason, certainly, and projecting what his commitment looked like, but never questioned ultimately his commitment to the game, especially when he's between the white lines. It kind of takes me back to when I used to hear about Dwight Howard, who will be a future Hall of Famer despite his highs and his lows. But I remember people used to say things about Dwight Howard like, well, he's only good because he's 7 feet and he just rolls out of bed and that's who he is. And I used to laugh because behind the scenes, when you know these athletes and you know how difficult it is to play pro sports, that no athlete ever can just roll out of the bed and not put in work and be successful, let alone Aaron Rodgers, let alone a multiple-time MVP and Super Bowl champion. So I knew once Aaron Rodgers said, I am going to commit, it was a bad situation in terms of the optics of saying you were 50-50 to retire or play, but you were going to be 100% committed to the game. And what happened? Week one, he looked horrible because he was a little late to that commitment compared to years past. And then in the first half of the second week, still a little sputtering. Then Aaron Rodgers activated. And since that point, well, we got 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, over 100 passer rating, and once again on the MVP pace. We shouldn't question Aaron Rodgers even when he questions himself.
Any concerns about Kansas City and, you know, what's going on there just for lack of success?
Huge concerns with Kansas City. But I've been on record saying this for a while, and a lot of times you get called a hater or what are you looking at, Wiley? I'm like, look, this is not a dynasty. Let's just start there. They won one Super Bowl. Yeah, they've been to 3 AFC championship games, but they have one ring. Can you close your eyes and imagine that the Dallas Cowboys win it all this year? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens win it all this year. Dak Prescott and Lamar or any of those type of guys. Hey, the Chargers, just close your eyes. Any of these young, great quarterbacks win it all this year. They will have the same amount of rings as Patrick Mahomes. Like, we got to calm down on all this Kansas City hype. Goodness, their defense is horrible. I mean, horrible. And it's crazy now it's starting to affect them offensively. They're pressing a little more. Turnovers all of a sudden. And yesterday we saw him run the football effectively, and it still was to no avail because the Chargers just hung around and finally finished that game. So you look at a Patrick Mahomes who's a little more reckless with the football without the full support of complimentary offense with a horrible defense. You can go out there and put up yards and put up points on this team. It's just that simple. So it's that aura of invincibility that Mike Tyson once possessed. And then Mike Tyson got knocked out by Buster Douglas. And ever since that moment, every other fight that he had was highly challenged and contested because that aura of invincibility was gone. With this defense, I don't care how great Patrick Mahomes is, it's not going to be enough for them to go out there and hoist another Lombardi.
Well, they find themselves looking uphill, man. You got Denver at 3-0. Denver's look good. Soft sked, but still, you're 3-0. Vegas, 3-0. The Chargers should be 3-0. They threw away a game in the second half against the Cowboys last week. And you could look at it, and again, you play the games, and wins and losses are what they are once the game is over. But I think the Browns should have beaten Kansas City in week one. I mean, Kansas City could be 0-3 at this point. Yet, I have a difficult time looking past Mahomes and betting on Mahomes. So, but I like the Chargers. I don't trust Denver and Vegas yet, I guess is what I'm saying to you, Marcellus, through 3 weeks, 17 games now. We got an extra game to play catch-up here. I'm not willing to sell them down the river, but if you're looking past Kansas City or don't think they'll end up at the top of the division, who will in the AFC West?
Yeah, it's tough, man. We're all creatures of habit, no matter what our loyalty is to that mantra. A lot of people don't want to admit that we're just conditioned beings. So we look at something that is changing in the moment, and we really don't take recognition of it until after the fact. And I think that's why you see the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs come in, and you automatically think that's a team that's unbeatable, and that's a team that's going to go out there and light it up. But in totality, these teams are starting to realize, like you said, Cleveland had them. Then we certainly know that the Chargers just got them. The Ravens got them despite spotting them 2 turnovers and 7 points. They still went out there and won that game. Chiefs are sputtering, man. It's just we don't believe our lying eyes. So who will win that division? I would say the Chargers. Chargers are the only team that's really played 3 great games and just gave away one. And then the game that they gave away to the Cowboys, let's be real. They gave them 2 touchdowns that they were taking off the board. The referees took 2 touchdowns away. Yesterday, the referees took away another touchdown, even though, hey, it's a legal shift. It is what it is. And they had to get a field goal. Point is, the Chargers run up and down the field on these teams and get points for it. I think the Chargers, of the 3 games that we've seen from all these teams, have looked the most impressive. I love Denver and what they're doing. I just think maybe offensively they're going to be a little challenged because Teddy Bridgewater plays it a little closer to the vest than Justin Herbert. But it's going to be a fun division to watch. But I still say the Chargers come out on top.
With Marcellus Wiley, a longtime NFLer. You see him, hear him on FS1. Ben Roethlisberger, man. Everything you just said about maybe being a creature of habit and not seeing it until it's over, I think I saw it over last year in the second half, post-Thanksgiving, and now it's just a corpse out there playing, man. Like, he looks terrible. He looks terrible. The Steelers look terrible. Is it too early for a full-blown panic attack if you're Mike Tomlin and a Steelers fan today?
No, it's over. Like, in the sense of not being literal, because he still puts up yards and some points here or there. It's just, figuratively, his best days are behind him, not in front of him. And we know that, and that probably will be literal in terms of summation of his season. You won't see a better Ben Roethlisberger season going forward than you've seen in the past. It just won't happen. And I think the reason is his lack of commitment, whatever level of commitment he had before, is now starting to add up in the moment. It's funny, I've had a lot of arguments with athletes when you're on top, you get away with things. You know, people laugh at your jokes when they're not funny. You're always the most popular guy in the locker room, even though you may have a bad personality. You just get away with things when you're the man. But there is a bill that you're paying. And I think what happens is they keep that bill to the side. They just add up your tab, add up your tab, add up your tab. And then one day out of nowhere, that bill is past due. And there's not a credit card you can put down that could pay that bill. And if you talk about the commitment of Ben Roethlisberger, it's a bill that's past due. It's like, you can lose all the weight you want this offseason, Ben. You can go out there and say, this year I'm finally committed at age 37, whatever it is, 39. Too late, Bill. Too late, Ben. It's time to pay this bill. And that's what's happening right now. You're seeing someone digging in their pockets for lint. Right there as they realize it's all over, man. It's sad to see. I don't know if you guys caught the one play where he threw a pass and literally just fell down like an old person. And it's just like, yo, he's fighting opponents and gravity now. It's a wrap, man. I think it's over.
It is. But what about on the other end of the spectrum, man, where the rookie quarterbacks came in, tons of hype, and it has been ugly early on. Justin Fields got sacked nine times yesterday. And Zach Wilson, if I'm in New York and I'm not a Jets fan, if I were, I'd be praying they pick someone up to play in front of this kid. I don't see how you can continue to run him out there. He's throwing picks. He's getting hit. He's running for his life. The team sucks, and they're going to continue to be terrible. What do you do here? Like, what do you do in New York and Chicago in particular? Because Lance is only going to get whatever. He's not going to play a ton. Mac Jones, I guess they're committed to, and the Patriots, I think, have more talent, although maybe not as much as we thought through 3 weeks. And I think they're due for a spanking come Sunday night with Tom coming off a loss. But what do you do with Fields in Chicago and Wilson in New York?
Yeah, Justin Fields, man, I predicted it. He would struggle. Him and Trey Lance right now haven't shown me enough that they can play in the NFL pocket just yet. Look, Zach Wilson looked amazing in preseason, and Mac Jones beat out a veteran, an MVP, Cam Newton. And we know Trevor Lawrence is down there with not a ton of talent, but still has his moments. But at least those guys checked the box for me in terms of pocket presence, awareness, and they could play in the pocket. And they're still struggling, those guys. But Trey Lance and especially Justin Fields, oh, my God, they're in trouble. So I think everyone collectively needs to apologize to Matt Nagy for protecting Justin Fields. Because everyone said, why aren't you starting? We got Andy Dalton here. Play Justin Fields, blah, blah, blah. And I think now we know the answer to that. Matt Nagy was looking out for Justin Fields. He was like, he's not ready. And we all saw that firsthand yesterday. What do? It's the same offense that Andy Dalton was running, and running effectively. I wouldn't say efficiently, and I wouldn't say optimally, but I would say effectively. Like, Andy Dalton had a 73% completion percentage. You know where Justin Fields is? Dead last in the NFL at 39. Like, there's just some horrible stats and metrics that says Justin Fields is not ready. So we're in a position where all you can hope for is Andy Dalton gets healthy, and they go back to protecting Justin Fields by starting Andy Dalton. Because I don't see this light turning on that fast. The best offensive lineman you have is a decisive quarterback. And it takes a while for that to click. It took Peyton Manning an entire year. He went 3-13 his first year, 28 picks. Next year, 13-3. It happened fast for the great one in Peyton Manning. Justin Fields has great potential. Hopefully it happens fast, but not in this moment.
No, it doesn't seem like it, and we got a long road ahead of us, man. These teams, they got 14 games left. We'll see how it all plays out. Enjoy the week, Marcellus. It's going to be a fun one. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care up there, brother.
There's Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer, and
yeah,
it's ugly for these quarterbacks, man. And Mac Jones, like, this week, you talk about hype. This is going to be the most hyped regular season return of my lifetime in the NFL. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Brady back to New England, there's no comparison.
No.
You know, like, in terms of the amount of time he was there, yeah, Gretzky going back to Edmonton, and there's other great players who have moved on. Jordan going back to Chicago as a member of Washington or whatever. Montana, I believe he went back to San Fran. But 20 years,
yeah, this
all
is,
those Super
all
Bowls,
those, yeah,
crazy, man.
And there's some animosity, too. Like, that's a thing. Like, you know, there's a lot of whispers behind the scenes. So it'll be interesting once they get through it. Like you say, is anybody going to get thrown under the bus? Is there going to be some public comments? Or is this going to, you know, Brady's a pretty good PR machine.
He'll play
machine.
It up
yeah.
pretty well. He knows, exactly. He knows he wants to protect that market, right? Like, yeah. He's a god there. You don't want to mess with that. He'll play he's going to pass Breeze for the most yards in history as well, which is fitting, just like when Gretzky went back to Edmonton,
yeah.
right, and set the record. That's basically exactly. What we're going to see on Sunday night.